Blood moons, prophecy. And we'll be back with your questions in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Mark Biltz of Blood Moons. Mark, how did you decode these signs?
Great question. The way I look at this is I was the first one in 2,000 years, more or less, to make the connection between eclipses and when they fall on the feast days, and then make the connection to prophecies, seeing what happens when you have the connection of eclipses falling on the feast days, these biblically prophetic wars involving Israel.
Let's go to some of the phones for you now. Let's go to Graceville, Florida. Rick is with us on Coast to Coast. Hello, Rick. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Good evening. Mark, I have a question for you. In the first eclipse on April 15th, you said on the East Coast it would be about 3 in the morning?
I believe so, and about midnight on the West Coast.
Okay. How about this? You know, in the Bible, Peter was Jesus' closest disciple, and he said he'd never deny him. And Jesus said before the rooster crows twice, you will have denied me 3 times. Okay, living in the country, I know roosters tend to crow about 3 o'clock in the morning. There could be a relation between Washington on the 15th coming out publicly and denying Israel as Peter did Jesus at 3 o'clock in the morning when they were trying Jesus and Peter was in the courtyard.
Hey, interesting connection. It could be. What's fascinating, you know, is the timing. But I don't know if you're aware of this. What's amazing, and this is, if you have what I call a Greek mindset and you don't know the Hebrew culture, you miss some things. And you know what that actually was, believe it or not, roosters and chickens were never allowed in Jerusalem. They weren't allowed. The temple was holy. And so there weren't any roosters or chickens in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And that's a historical fact. What that actually was, but your point is still true, there was a temple priest who was like the town crier, the temple crier. And early in the morning, not quite at 3 in the morning, but it would be at the first ray of sun, he would call out or crow out 3 times for all the priests to begin the morning service. And he was known historically as the cock crow. So, yes, the event happened, but not as we think. It wasn't from a rooster crowing. It was from a person crowing who was known as the cock crow, who at the first rays of sun would call out for the priest to begin the morning service.
Mark, was there any life-changing event for you that occurred when you were younger and that something that you'll never forget?
Oh, my gosh. You are not kidding. When I had an angelic visitation, and I was in 8th grade, and I had ran away from home, and I went out to this creek with my backpack and my pillow, and I'm laying out there. It's about 10 o'clock at night. And I grew up in a town of only 800 people. Everybody knew everybody. I mean, we're talking about like 100 homes, you know, about 8 people in the house. It was by a railroad tracks and a highway, this creek was. And I'm out in the creek, and I'm laying down, and I'm all upset because I felt like nobody loved me, so I ran away from home. And my brother, who was a year younger, and my sister, who was in high school, I heard them calling out looking for me. And my dad was home, and my mom was gone on a retreat. So it was just my younger brother and older sister calling out my name. And I was just crying. I didn't know. I wanted to run away from home. I was going to jump on the train like the hobos would do back, you know, in the 60s or so. So anyway, so I cried out to God. I said, God, what should I do? Should I tell my brother and sister where I'm at? And then I heard this booming voice, like a police car on a megaphone. And it sounded like my dad's voice. And I said, Mark, tell the kids where you are. And I thought, oh, great, now I'm in trouble with the cops as a runaway. I'm going to go to juvie hall or something, you know. And I heard my brother and sister calling out for me again. And so I cried out to God again, God, what should I do? Should I tell them where I'm at? And I hear this loud, booming voice, like my dad's voice, saying, "Mark, tell the kids where you are." So I call out to my brother and sister, and they come running over. And I ask, you know, if I'm in trouble with the law or with dad. They said, "No, we're the only ones looking for you." And I said, "Well, did you hear that loud, booming voice calling me to tell you where I was?" And they said, "No, we didn't hear a thing." And then out of nowhere in the dark comes toward us this young man, probably it seemed like in his 30s, and he came up and he said, "Can I be of any help?" And my sister said, "Well, my brother ran away from home, but he's going back home." And the guy said, "Well, home is where he belongs." And he just kind of walked off and disappeared, and none of us knew who he was. We'd never seen him before. We never saw him again. And I felt like that was just a real turning point for me.
Very good. Next up, we go to Marilyn in Flagstaff, Arizona. Welcome to the show, Marilyn. Go ahead.
Thank you. I wondered if, looking at the patterns of the blood moons, if there was any connection between that and the patterns that show up in the Harbinger.
Oh, I definitely think so. He talks a lot about the Shemitah year, the seven-year patterns, and I see the very same thing. You're definitely right.
These rabbis who have made predictions as well about the, you know, prophetic predictions, they're pretty uncanny too, aren't they, Mark?
Oh my gosh, you bet. They sure are. It's very uncanny.
Let's look at blood moons again as you put it together. There's going to be four of them. Let's do a little review. Four of them starting this month, correct?
Yes, on tax day, April 15th.
Okay.
Next Tuesday morning.
So something could happen, maybe not.
Correct. Something could, maybe not. I think it's the first shot across the bow, so to speak, of God's warning signal. Just like if you come up to a flashing red light, if you try to run that red light, you might get hit by a car, you might not.
All right, we go west. Jim is in Rancho Mirage, California, west of the Rockies. Jim, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Hi, George. Hi, Pastor.
Hello.
Hi. I'd like to make a suggestion of what I think that these final blood moons, what event will occur.
Okay.
Now George mentioned that the first set of blood moons, Israel came into to their land. The second set, right, and George said that they had Jerusalem. Before the first set of blood moons, when Jerusalem became a nation in 1948, it was before the first the blood moons. When Jerusalem became their city, it was after the first blood moon.
Correct.
I think they became a city in June in 67.
Right. Right.
Okay. Now, when we head to these last blood moons, you have the Holy Land, you have the Holy City. Now, the only thing that's missing is the Holy Temple. I think that Jerusalem will get their holy temple before or even on the last blood moon. What do you think of that?
I think there's a real high probability. I've thought about that. I've heard of other people talk about that, and I think you could be about 100% correct. We'll see what happens.
Okay. By the way, I got your DVD, and I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm glad you watched it.
All right.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you being on the program. We go to Joey in Detroit, Michigan, first-time caller. Hey, Joey, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, George, for getting me on here. I've got a question because I'm not sure what language we're coming from. Was it the original Aramaic, or was it Hebrew, Chaldean, or was it Attic Greek that we're getting some of these derivatives? Understanding that the language of posturing in that time and place when Yeshua was walking the earth was Aramaic. So I'm trying to find out because there's about four or five different translations that I find to be real defective. And the only one that I found out that these becomes anywhere near to accurate is a Thera Fenton from 1850 to 1903. And he went back to the original Aramaic. So we're going to solstices, I believe. You got lunar solstices, and you got spring solstice, and you've got all these different solstices that are happening, and there are signs of things that are to take place.
Okay. What do you think of that, Mark? Go ahead.
Well, first off, 2,000 years ago, yes, they spoke Aramaic, but if you remember, the sign that they wrote above the cross, it was written in Greek, it was written in Latin, and it was written in Hebrew. It was Latin because the Roman Empire was the empire, and they spoke Latin. It was Greek because prior to the Roman Empire was the Greek Empire with Alexander the Great. It was in Hebrew because that was the main language of the day. Yes, they did spoke Aramaic, but they were multilingual. They came from all these countries, just like today. They were multilingual back then. But the language that I'm talking about predates that by 2,000 more years. I'm talking about 4,000 B.C. I'm talking or 2,000 B.C., 4,000 years ago. I'm talking about the Proto-Canaanite or the Paleo-Hebrew language as far as the sign language. I'm going back 2,000 years even before Christ.
Okay, we go next to Phyllis in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Phyllis, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I was just wondering, Pastor, if you think Mars is going to be the closest to the Earth on April 14th, and if that has any significance with the blood moon.
Well, there's a lot of heavenly signs. As a matter of fact, I think Mars is in opposition to Earth. It's in a direct line with the sun, is what NASA reports. You have Earth, the sun, and Mars all in a straight line. Mars is on the opposite side of the sun that we are. And there's not asteroids, but all kinds of things that are happening in the heavens. And I think all of these things are tied together where God is wanting us to look heavenward and pay attention. So, yes.
Is he an angry God, Mark?
I don't see him that way at all. A lot of people see God as some, like, Thor up in the sky throwing lightning bolts at the people down below. I don't see that at all. I don't see him as an angry God. I think he's upset in the sense that the world has turned from him, and he's the one that owns it. He's the one that created it. But the Bible says that it's the loving kindness of God that leads men to repentance, not the wrath of God. And I think that's more like the way he is.
Let's go to Las Vegas now. Jerome's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jerome, thank you for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Jerome. Thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say God bless you to both of you guys. And Mark, Pastor Mark, have you ever heard of a person by the name of Frederick Larson?
I'm not sure. It doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, well, anyway, he made a CD or DVD not too long ago, back in 2008, about the Star of Bethlehem.
Yes. I do know the guy that did the Star of Bethlehem. Right, I just didn't connect the name, but yes.
Yeah, so when I just took the DVD back to the library, and when I was watching this, and then all of a sudden I heard about you, and I went on the Internet, and I saw what you have discovered. And both of you guys discovered, he made the DVD back in 2008, while you discovered this in 2008.
Right.
And now, all of a sudden, the History Channel took note of this guy's, what he'd done, and now they're talking about the Star of Bethlehem. But what he did on this DVD, he brought up the blood moons on the exact day of Jesus' crucifixion.
There was a total lunar eclipse, I believe, that night.
Yeah, there was a blood moon. They said the blood moon was arising. And what's kind of ironic is that George, you remember you had a person by the name of Carl Gallups?
Yes, some time ago.
Yeah, I remember you had him on, I think it was back in January.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys were talking about the Rabbi Kaduri.
Kaduri, the 108-year-old who died, yeah.
Yes, and remember he brought up about when Sharon?
Ariel Sharon died, yeah.
Yeah, and he exactly died on January 4th, officially, of this year.
That's right.
But according But according to the prophecy, they said that after Ariel Sharon dies, then calamity is going to start happening. And then you got these blood moons. I'm telling you, man, we are in the last days, Pastor Mark. I'll leave it at that. God bless you both.
Hey, thank you.
You think we're on the last days, Mark? Are we the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning?
Well, we're the end of the beginning of a new era coming. But you know what's amazing is in Psalms 102, you don't see this in English, you only see it in Hebrew. It's around verse 18 where it says, when the Lord begins to build up Zion, that's when he'll appear in his glory. Well, in 1967 is when Zion began to be built up, and that's what all the political pressure is on Israel, because they keep building up Zion, you know, building in what's called the West Bank. But you know what's amazing? In Hebrew, the next verse says, and this is written for the generation to come. But in Hebrew, the word is acharon, and it means the terminal generation, the last generation. Well, if, depending on how long you think a generation is, if it's 50 years, 67 and 50 is 2017.
What's ironic, Mark, is I have specifically been feeling something impending for the past 2 years. And you know, every time there's some kind of earth calamity or event, I always ask myself, well, is this it? But I don't think it is. I mean, because that feeling is still there. Maybe it's tied into these blood moons. Who knows, huh?
I think so. I think everybody, you're not alone. Everybody all over the world is feeling this sense of impending something coming because something's just not right. The world is just not right, and it can't continue to live like this. And so, I don't know if I want to get into this, but I've heard we have people who come to our congregation who are in, let's just say like U.S. Marshals or FBI or people that, you know, do, you know, are aware of different things going on. And they're even talking about how there's a good chance we could have IEDs on our highway sometime soon, like was over in Iraq.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's all we need.
Exactly. But there, I think everyone knows that we're something big is coming.
Let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hey, Cornelius. You're asleep, huh? Wake up, Cornelius.
Oh, I'm up now, George. I kind of drifted off there for a second.
Had you on hold so long.
No. God bless you, Pastor Mark and George. And
you too.
Yeah, bless you.
I was telling Tommy before I fell asleep, I had him talk about John Hagee, which y'all got Mark Blitz. And Mark, he talks about you all the time, so he gives you credit. Him, Perry Stone, Irvin Baxter. So at least I know those guys give you credit. I know some of those other pastors, like you said, they're trying to say, you know, your stuff is no good. But I believe something's getting ready to happen, just like you do, George, because just things, you can feel it, like the air is just...
Oh, it is huge, Cornelius. It is huge. We're going to come back, take final phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to be talking about the Cirrus Agenda. What does that mean? ETs and government cover-ups? Our Scott Lemerald joins us on our next Coast to Coast show. And we're going to come back in a moment with Mark Biltz and talk about blood moons with your final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Mark Biltz with us. Mark, so these events that will occur, you believe, over the course of these four blood moons, are they serious, tragic, fulfilling, earth-shattering? What do you think they may be?
All of the above. I really believe that there's a very high probability that we could see a global warfare definitely involving the Middle East breakout. I definitely believe in the next year and a half you could see the global economy just go totally in the tank.
Totally in the tank.
Right. Well, I think it'll be worse than 2008.
Then how do we pull out of things like that? Or
wow.
Can we?
One thing I'm not is an economist.
You're a pastor, not an economist.
I am not an economist. That is for sure. And I jokingly say we're a nonprofit ministry as well.
So you just give us the bad news and that's it, huh?
No, not a, all I do is give the science, the patterns, and look at the Bible and look at the facts. And, you know, jokingly, I say to everybody, you know, you put this in your own theological pipe and smoke it like you want.
Yeah.
You know.
But, let's go to Minneapolis, St. Paul. Jeff's with us. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, George.
Okay, Jeff, my pleasure.
My question is, I'm just wondering what all this has to do with the happening of the rapture and then the following tribulation.
Ah, and that's a good question.
I'll just take the answer off air. Thank you.
You got it. Rapture and tribulation. Anything, any tie-in here with that, Mark?
Well, let me put it this way. I think that the tribulation will begin some year on the Feast of Trumpets. What year, I don't know. I don't set dates. I also believe that the resurrection of the dead will take place some year on the Feast of Trumpets as well. Now, whether these four blood moons signal one of these next one or two Feast of Trumpets is when that will occur, I don't know, and I'm not saying that. But I definitely think there's a good chance we're about to begin the next seven-year cycle. Like I said, 2015 ends a Shemitah year, which means 2016 begins a new seven-year cycle. So could 2016 be the beginning of the tribulation? We'll have to see.
Cornelius was saying before the break that Pastor John Hagee, for example, who says good things about you, he also is concerned about blood moons as well. How many people are in this kind of camp with you that believe, one, something's going to happen, and then, you know, they're on the fence as to what it might be?
I think a whole lot of people, a whole lot of people. I mean, the last thing we want to do is necessarily set dates or say something is definitely going to happen. But as you said earlier in the show, everyone's on pins and needles. Everyone knows something's not right. And I think pretty much many multitudes believe that these are more signs. I mean, just like, you know, in the Bible, it talks about there will be earthquakes and famines and droughts and wars, and, you know, we're seeing all these things happen. So this really isn't so much a sign by itself, but it's a sign among all these other signs that just say that we're very close.
Erica, Columbia, South Carolina. Hey, Erica, thank you for calling.
Hi there. Good morning. I was calling, peace and blessings to you both, but I was calling about people born on a lunar eclipse. I was born March the 13th, 1960, which was a Sunday and not a Friday. But my mom, she died when I was 15, but she always kind of gave me this aura of I was a little different and I was born on this eclipse. Now, I didn't really believe it until I was able to look it up in an almanac, and then I confirmed it several times with the internet that, yes, I was born on an eclipse on that day, a lunar eclipse. So do births have anything to do with it? Do you see anything about births and people?
I'm not sure. I haven't made that connection yet. I'm not saying that it's not connected. I'm just saying I haven't made that connection.
Okay. Yeah, I tend to be able to, you know, feel I can have dreams and things like that, but I didn't know if it was anything related to being born on a lunar eclipse.
I think that's pretty exciting.
So I guess when the first blood moon occurs next week, and if something else dramatic happens, we're going to have to get you back on here, Mark.
Most definitely. I tell you what, I think if something happens over this next year and a half, which I think will happen, then we'll definitely be back together.
And say, save us, save us.
Well, it won't be me that does that.
Let's go to Teresa, Grants Pass, Oregon now. Hey, Teresa, go ahead.
Hi, George and Mark. Wow, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
It's an honor. I come from the camp of looking at this whole thing as being kind of a purification process, and so I'm coming from the camp of love rather than fear, and I see that through my lens, I kind of look at the whole thing as prophecy or otherwise, that there are certain things that need to break down to make room for the light and to just clear. Because, you know, when you look around at the world, there's so much stuff that's been going on. And, yeah, it's not right. But and then the other thing I wanted to say, and the main reason I called tonight, I had recurring dreams when I was a very small child. I mean, maybe 2, 3, 4 years old. And I called them moon danger dreams. And on the full moon, my mom would tell me this, that I would have these terrifying dreams where the moon would be full and it would flash red and white and red and white, the color of blood. And I don't think I'd ever heard of a blood moon until maybe on your show fairly recently. But I just think it's really interesting. And I hadn't thought about it in a long time. And then when I heard your show, I started thinking about it again. Have you ever heard of anyone having dreams or that type of thing about blood moons?
I haven't heard that. How about you, Mark?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
It could be prophetic dreams, though. I mean, there's a lot of prophetic dreams that are out there, Teresa. So
definitely.
That's very, very possible as well. Are you scared at all about these blood moons, Mark?
No. I wouldn't use the word scared. I would say in awe, maybe. What's the right word? I wouldn't say scared at all. Concerned. I'd say concerned.
All right. Cautiously concerned.
Yes, yes. There you go.
We go next to east of the Rockies. Keith is in Wallington, New Jersey. Good morning, Keith. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Hello, Pastor.
Hello.
I was wondering if the blood moon, doesn't that look like the Eucharist and the blood that is being shown all over the world, like in Naju, South Korea?
Yeah, what do these blood moons represent?
Well, what's fascinating, here we're talking about blood moons, and the first one's on Passover, which is all about the Passover sacrifice.
Interesting one timing of the other again.
Yeah, well, one of the interesting things that a lot of people aren't aware of, during the Exodus, at the first Passover, the Egyptians worshipped the moon god, okay? And Aries is the month of Passover, or the ram, or the lamb, and they believed that when the moon was full at its apex, that's when their lamb god was at the apex of his powers. And so what does God do? He tells the Israelis to kill the lamb god that the Egyptians worshipped. I mean, everyone loves barbecues, and the way you smell, you know, as it drifting across the fence. Well, can you imagine the Jews were commanded to kill the lamb god that the Egyptians worshipped and barbecue it whole outside so they could smell that they were killing their god, and then they had to put their blood on their doorpost so all the Egyptians would know which homes killed their god, you know. And so really what God was doing, you know, he was telling them that, hey, no, the Egyptians don't have the Lamb of God. He has the real Lamb of God. So it's just kind of interesting when you look at it from another standpoint.
You know, when you were putting this together, was there some aspect of these blood moons that just popped out where you said, you know what, I've got it. I've decoded this. I know something's going on.
Yeah, yeah. It's when I made that connection between Genesis 1:14, where God created it for signs on his feast days, and I made that connection that is so plainly there, and then saw historically the patterns where they actually had historic events like 67 and 48 and 1492, 70 AD, 32 AD. I was just jumping out of my skin. It was just crazy.
Austin is in San Antonio, Texas. Good morning, Austin. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how you doing? I'm
good.
Excited you guys got my call. It's great. I was driving home, and I was really excited to hear what you're talking about, because I've been researching this for a little bit, and I've had kind of like dreams and vision night-like instances talking about the blood moons, and I was curious if you like investigated the fact that there's also the solar tetrad during the year, and then there's also 5 super moons this year, which is just a lot of cosmic anomalies and whatnot. Like also the 23rd of this month is going to be a cardinal grand cross, which is really, really an interesting time for us.
Yeah.
Like, cosmically. So I was curious, like, what your thoughts were with all of those tying together, because I've like you were talking about the impending coming or feeling like something's coming. It's been driving me crazy for the past like year.
Yeah, me too, Austin. You've been talking about solar events as well and super moons too, Mark.
Yes, there's a total solar eclipse that happens next year on Nisan 1, which is the day of the inauguration ceremony of Moses' tabernacle when the fire fell from heaven and lit the altar. Total solar eclipse. Then on Rosh Hashanah next year, there's a partial solar eclipse. And what's coming up this April 29th is an annular solar eclipse. And that was the day that John Kerry gave as the final day for trying to get a peace agreement in the Middle East. So there's all kinds of events happening in the heavens that makes everyone realize something big is coming.
Are these events always tied into Israel in some form or fashion?
I think so. Like I said, the total lunar eclipse is judgment coming on Israel. Solar eclipses is judgment coming on the nations. We have both happening in the next year and a half. But typically, yes, they're involving Israel.
Ed is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, Ed, you're on with Mark. Go ahead.
All right, John, thanks for taking my call again. Mark, yeah, I wanted to ask you what you think about the idea when Israel goes to the peace table to sign that agreement with what's left of the Arab nations. Key word, I think, was what's left of the Arab nations, because I believe there's going to be a war coming up real soon that's going to just put totally everybody in the Middle East in shock, because Israel's probably going to wipe Damascus off the map. Now, the Bible pretty much confirms that. I want to run this past you, but could that be one of the blood moons, and could also the starting of the peace treaty, which would be the signifying of the tribulation hour and the Antichrist coming to power at the same time, could that be one of the blood moons? And could the third blood moon be the Battle of Armageddon? That's the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. And then the final fourth blood moon be Jesus Christ comes back and destroys all the armies who try to go against Israel, and that'll be the starting of the millennium. And praise the Lord, we'll all live in peace, man. We'll all live, and I am so excited, I can't stand it.
If you're right, Eddie, if you're right. If you're not, we may be in a mess. What do you think of this, Mark?
Well, I tell you what, I think, as he said, everyone's excited in one sense. They're not fearful. I mean, I have a healthy respect for the, coming tribulation is supposed to be a day of darkness, and so in one sense I have a healthy respect for it, but at the same time I'm excited, like your caller, that I really believe that we're about to enter an epic time in history. Very biblically prophetic events. I don't know which ones, I'm not going to claim which one, but I think we definitely need to have our antennas up and watch in the heavens.
Well, you got to keep watching them. These are signs. They're strange signs, and everybody seems to be feeling weird things. So maybe you're onto something with these blood moons, Mark.
Well, for me, it's just making the connection. I feel like a little kid in a candy store looking at this stuff, and I just kind of stumbled on it, and I'm just putting it out there as a scientific observer, and if people see things that I don't see, hey, I'm open to any suggestion. I feel like the more I know, the more I realize I don't know.
Brian is Ontario, Canada. Hey, Brian, always a pleasure. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me, George, and
sure.
Very great to speak with you, Pastor Mark. I'm just excited about being a Canadian these days with our Prime Minister standing up for Israel in January, going
great
to Israel and standing alongside them and taking a stand. I think Canada's in for a blessing that we don't realize, although with opposition parties in Canada are not liking the Prime Minister, even though he's a born-again Christian. Anyways, I've been learning the Hebrew language of late and just getting excited like never before, seeing what God has in store for his people. How do you see, the nations that stand for Israel in these last days?
Sure. Well, I think what's interesting, a lot of people misinterpret this one passage in the Gospels about the separating of the sheep and the goats. If you go back and look at it, it's they're not individuals, they're nations. God is going to judge all of the nations as either sheep or goats, depending on how they treated Israel.
Well, is there any way out for people?
Well, I would, as an individual late? Or as a nation?
Both, I guess. Is it too late? If you've got the, if you've done things, bad things, can you turn it around?
No, I definitely think so. I think that's the greatest thing is to know that God, like I said, isn't some angry God out to punish people. He doesn't want to. That's the last thing he wants to do. He wants us to a relationship, just like a parent with a child. You don't want to spank the child, but you do want a relationship with the child, and you want them to stop doing bad behavior. You know, God loves us. He's not. The only reason why he punishes us isn't because he's angry. It's because he's trying to get our attention, so we'll change our behavior.
All right, so next week, first blood moon, do you expect anything?
I'm not saying anything is going to definitely happen on that day, but I definitely think that it's the warning shot across the bow, so to speak, and we better be watching from here on out for the next year and a half.
The book and the DVD, available where?
Well, you can get it at Amazon.com. You can get it from Barnes & Nobles. I mean, a lot of bookstores are carrying it. I even saw it at the airport in a bookstore as I was traveling in New Jersey. You can get it from our website, El Shaddai Ministries, as well as from WorldNet Daily.
That's cool. Thank you so much, Mark, for being on the program. We'll watch these blood moons over the next year, all four of them. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, George Knapp, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.